Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We'll read a little of the text, I believe, what God wants me to preach on. And we'll pray and get into the message. John chapter 6, end of the chapter, verse 60, we'll start with. And we'll read through verse 60 down to 66. And we'll read responsively. I'll start, and you read 61, I'll read 62, and you all read with me 63, and so forth. And we'll all finish together on 66. So I'll start with verse 60 and then read with me every other verse responsively. In verse 60, the Word of God says, "Many therefore of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?'" In verse 61 with me. "When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before?'" Verse 63 together. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew that, knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, "Therefore, said unto you," excuse me, "that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." And 66 altogether. "From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." I want you to notice that, that last part of 66. "From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." I just want to think about how, and fathom how Jesus, the Son of God, walked on earth as a man, was all God and all man, and even He had disciples that turned away. Even He had people that didn't follow Him. Even He had people that rejected Him. We'll get more into this. Let's pray and ask God to bless our message. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for how good You are, and thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to preach Your perfect Word. Thank You for this great church and the opportunity I have to preach Your Word to them and these people, Lord. Help each and every person in the way that they need it. Bless each and every one of this congregation. Bless Pastor Gilbert. God, thank You for Brother Polk also. Thank You for him helping in the service and leading singing, Lord. Thank You for all those that are here that are not from Charleston Missionary. And I pray You just bless them that are coming to visit for this teen revival service, Lord. I pray that You would give our nation and our generation of teenagers and young people revival. We need You, Lord. We need Your power. We need Your Spirit in a mighty way, Lord, in this service and throughout all of America. We need a change. We need Your help. Without You, we can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And God, it's not because of us. It's not because of our might nor power, but by Your Spirit and by Your help, Lord, by Your power, Lord. It's all because of You. We just want to worship You and learn about You tonight. Help me to give the message that You put on my heart to give to these people. And Lord, help me to say it with clarity of mind and clarity of speech. And help me to say everything You want me to say and not to say anything I don't. You don't, Lord. God, please forgive me of sin. Empty me of myself, Lord, and fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Help me to preach exactly as You see fit. And God will give You all the praise and the glory and honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So in this passage of Scripture, we see Jesus is with a large crowd. And if we were to look earlier in chapter 6, we would have seen something that happened that was a miracle, pretty well known. You may have heard of it. It was the feeding of the 5,000. And we always hear about this famous miracle, how two little fishes and five loaves of bread were spread out amongst so many. And 5,000 men were fed beside the women and children. This great miracle and this wonderful thing that Jesus did, and all these, you know, tons of people around the world, not even Christians, know about this miracle. And it's famous. They know about what Jesus did, but sometimes people forget about the aftermath when Jesus was preaching to these people. And when He started preaching to them, it says in verse 60, "Many therefore of disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is an hard saying. who can hear it? He started preaching about the bread of life and him, his body, and the blood and being the life in there. And take, eat of my body. And they didn't understand it was a picture, but in Jewish culture, it's an abomination to think about cannibalism. And that's what they thought he was. That's what they thought he was talking about. But they didn't understand the picture of that. And some of them may have not understood it. Some of them may have thought that, assumed that was what he meant. But whatever the reason, they thought it was a hard saying. And they said, who can hear it? So the aftermath of that, they had a hard saying from him. Jesus knew what was going on in their heads before they even say it. It says in verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? When we think of his disciples, we think of the 12 main disciples that he picked. There were hundreds and from this, thousands of people that were following Jesus. Now, many of them, they may not have believed what exactly Jesus was saying, what he was preaching, but some of them may have just been in it for a little bit of the action, a little bit of the money and the fame of it, a little bit of that extra food even, a little bit of the glamour and the pomp and circumstance, the show of it. And Jesus was making a big deal in this country. He was miracles that, you know, have never been seen before. You know, when people get, 5,000 people get fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, it kind of gets around. You know, the news is, it makes a story, and it hits the Washington Post or whatever you got there, the Jerusalem Gazette or whatever they got going on over there, you know. So this was a famous thing, and people were, talking about Jesus, saying maybe they were going to check him out. Maybe they believed on what he was saying. Maybe they just wanted what he had to offer. Whatever the reason, there were many there. And of course, we see that there was people for all different reasons there. Some were just because of the show, some were just because of curiosity, and some were there because they believed. It says in verse 62, what, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? And he says in verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So he tries to tell them, it's not about the flesh, it's not about what you want. It's about the Spirit. It's about what God wants. It's about what God has for your life, that plan that he has. The Spirit quickeneth. Quickeneth, talking about making alive. It's not talking about, making a quick 40-yard dash or anything like that. It's talking about to make alive. The Spirit quickeneth. And what that means, when you get saved, your spirit makes, it's made alive. God rejuvenates that dead spirit from the sin that you had from birth. Your spirit, you're born dead. But when you're saved, it's quickened. It's made alive. It says, the flesh profiteth some. Flesh profiteth a little bit, right? The flesh is somewhat important. The flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing. We think about, well, I gotta exercise. And, it's good to exercise. If you want to, the bodily exercise profiteth little, but, that's not, it's not the main thing. And you say, well, it's good to eat a lot. If you're a Baptist, you love to eat. I mean, I'm with you. I'm right there. And, But you know what? The flesh, when it comes down to it, yeah, we all have this flesh, and we all have our sin, and we all have that part of our life right now, our old man. But what happens with the flesh? It profiteth nothing. You think, well, it's good for some things, right? No, it's not good. The flesh is just sin sick and evil. And it's necessary at this point because we're at that stage of life where it's the battle. And until Jesus comes back and we can take off these fleshly garments and go up and be a glorified body, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait till I get to heaven because I'm not going to have any more sin. I'm not going to have this stinking flesh that I have to fight all the time and that tries to get the best of me, and the devil tries to get the best of me, and this world tries to get the best of me. It's going to be a great day when I don't have this flesh because it profits nothing. You may be sitting here today and you say, man, I like this. I like to, get into that sin a little bit. I got my sin at home. I go back to every once in a while. It's not profiting anything. The flesh, when you give in to that and you feed the flesh, it does nothing but hurt you. It profits nothing. You say, I'm not that bad. I don't have that much wrong with me. I just do that. You know, I just drink a little of this. I just smoke a little of that. I take a little of those pills. I look at a little of that. It's profiting nothing. It doesn't profit anything. Giving into that flesh, it's nothing but hurt. It's nothing but sorrow. It's nothing but regret. And when you look back at your life after a life full of profiting, thinking that the flesh profits you, you're going to look back with a life of regret. There's no people on their deathbed that say, man, I wish I sinned more. I wish I, you know, smoked a little bit more. I wish I drank a couple more swigs. You know, nobody says that. The thing people say on their deathbed is, man, I wish I prayed more. I wish I won one more soul. I wish I read more. I wish I could have learned more. I wish I could have studied to show myself approved unto God. I wish I could have been a workman. Need not be ashamed. Because when you're a workman and you're not doing all that you should do for God, that's you're going to be ashamed. You're going to be ashamed to say, man, I can't believe I didn't do as good as I could have done. God can look at you and say, well, I was going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, but you did nothing but play around your whole life. You wasted it time. You wasted the time you had to serve me with giving into that flesh. That flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. His words, God's word, is spirit and life. Yes, sir. We heard a great message this morning in the Sunday school hour from a man named Moses, a preacher from Africa who came. And he preached all about growing in the Word of God and reading more of the Word of God. And I hope none of us miss that. The Word of God is, it's His words, their spirit and their life. You say, man, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm depressed. I don't know what to do with my life. Have you been reading the Word of God? Have you been in it every day? That rejuvenates you. It gives you life. It fills you. It helps your spirit. And without the Bible, you're going to live in a depressed state. You're going to live in a state of mind where you just feel depressed all the time, feel worthless, feel like you're starving. You need the Word of God. Jesus says to these disciples, but there are some of you that believe not. I said earlier, there's many people that came, and some of them came for different reasons. There was some that came because they actually believed, and some of them came just to see what was going on. And some of them came just to maybe get whatever they could get from this man. And if you're here and you say that you believe in Jesus, you're prophesying that you say, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I come to church. I'm a good person. But you really don't. If you really don't believe in Him, you're in trouble. You're in a lot of trouble. You need to get to the point where you actually believe what the Bible says, what Jesus said. The Bible is the Word of God, and the Bible is the most precious commodity in all the earth, better than all the gold, all the rubies, all the silver, and all the jewels and diamonds, everything. There's nothing more precious than the Word of God. And you got it. There's countries all over where they're not allowed to have the Bible. There's countries where they don't have it in their language and they need to have it translated and it takes forever and people are dying off without even knowing about Jesus. But you're here sitting in America with freedom to read the Bible and own the Bible and to have it and learn from it, but you let it sit idle. You don't read it. You don't pick it up. You sometimes forget it in church and it's just some other thing that's there. Don't let the Bible just be one more book on your bookshelf. The Bible is the Word of God, and we got to treat it like it. The Bible gives you spirit. It feeds your spirit, and it gives you life. If you don't believe the Word of God, you need to. You need to believe it. There's no other book that was written by over 40 authors over a period of over 1,600 years that fulfills so many prophecies that it'd be impossible. It'd be one out of billions. The odds against it all being true, and yet it is. The prophecies, just with Jesus alone, are fulfilling that the odds are innumerable. It goes on past. There's hundreds of prophecies that He's fulfilled that prove the Bible's the Word of God. You need to believe the Bible's the Word of God. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. He knows who you are. He knows that if you're just playing around. He knows if you're not a workman. He knows if you're a playman. He knows if you're here and you're just waiting to get out of church. Maybe you're a teenager And you're coming to church because mom made you. You know, they dragged you in and you say, man, wait, when I'm 18, I can make my own decisions, I'm leaving. And you wouldn't be alone. I believe it's 80% of the people that grow up in church leave after they turn 18. That's a terrible statistic. That's a sad statistic. It's a sad thing that God's children who know the truth, who've been raised under preaching of the Word of God, and who have the opportunity to serve Him, turn away. Why? Because they don't believe. They don't have it on their... They don't internalize it and take it to themselves. They don't believe that the Bible is truly the Word of God. When you believe, it moves you to action. So if you say you believe, I hope your life is different. I hope something's different about you. Christians ought to be different. If you're acting just like the world, look like the world, and sound like the world, it's hard to believe that you're a Christian. It's hard. It'd be hard for me to say, man, that's definitely a Christian. I don't know who's saved and who's not. God knows and you know, but, you know, by your fruits ye shall know them. That's what the Bible says. We need to know that if we really believe, it'll move us to action. Verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of the Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And here's a sad thing that he says in verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? That's the title of my message tonight. Will he also go away? Some of you are here tonight and you're saying, man, I'm in church. I'm in a Sunday evening service. I'm hardcore. You know, I come to the evening service. Most other kids are out, I don't know, whatever they're doing, going to the movie theater, mall, hanging out, watching Netflix. I don't know what they do. I'm a weirdo. I don't do what normal kids do. You know, people say, what do you want to do Sunday night? I work with a couple guys and they say, man, we're going out Sunday night. What are you doing? I'm like, no, I'm going to church. Like, church? I thought you went Sunday morning. I'm like, yeah, I do. They're like, and didn't you go to that Wednesday night too? I'm like, yep, that's, yeah, I do. And they're like, and you go to that thing on Saturday where you invite others, right? I'm like, yes, sir. And you know, and they're baffled. They're like, you go to church more than once? They're like, what? They think something's wrong with you in the head. They're like, man, what's wrong with this guy? He what is he, like, it's that terrible that he needs to go to church that much? That's their line of thinking. I told one lady I worked with back when I worked in this store. I worked retail, and I said, man, you need Jesus. And she said, that's rude. I was like, it's the truth. Everybody does. I was like, I need him too, if that makes you feel any better. But this world, you know, they think about Christ and they think about church and they think about it as something that is just something to fall back on when you're in trouble. And that's the biggest lie out there. Church and Jesus and the Bible is the best thing you can ever do. Is the best thing you can ever get into. Is the best thing you can ever lean on. I would rather be here than anywhere else in the world. I mean, I don't care if it's a trip to Italy, you know, whatever. I don't know, you know, all the great places, you name them, I don't care. I'd rather be in church because this is where you can meet with God. And I pray we'd meet with God tonight. And I pray that people that are here under the sound of this word of God, under my voice, I just pray that you'd understand that how good you've got it. I pray you'd understand how awesome it is to be able to be in church. And maybe you're sitting here, and this isn't just for the teenagers. Maybe you're sitting here, and you're like the prodigal, and you say, I'm here, but in my heart, I'm already gone. You say, I'm here, but I really can't wait to leave. You ought to reassess your situation. You ought to rethink this. You ought to take a reality check real quick. Check out how good you have it. Check out all the things you're taking for granted, all the blessings you have. He said, will ye also go away? The reason why so many disciples were going away is because of the hard preaching. That hard things that he was saying. And they said, whoa, I didn't sign up for that. I came when I, you know, I got my bread and my fish, but I didn't sign up for this hard preaching. And they got turned away because their roots weren't deep. They weren't really believing. They were just, you know, here for show. I pray that you're not here for show. I pray that it's real. I pray it's real for you. I pray that you really believe what you say you believe. I pray if you're a Christian and that you act like one and you really believe it. So even when the hard times come, even when the hard preaching comes, even when the hard things that from God come, that you don't put a deaf ear on it because you're afraid of what you're going to have to get changed. We ought to want to get changed because we ought to want to be changed more and more to get more like Christ.
Yes, sir.
And when a hard preacher gets up and stands up and says, you know, thus saith the Lord, you're a sinner. We ought to say, you're right.
Man.
Put down our pride.
Absolutely.
Put down our own self and think, I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace, and I need that. I need that change.
Man.
I need that help from God. I need that hard saying.
Yes, sir.
Turn to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Here we see the children of Israel. And this is a time where it's past all the kings and split kingdom, Israel and Judah. And there's a lack of direction in the children of Israel and in the country and in this nation. This is before they get destroyed, but they're real close. And the reason is because of sin. The reason is because of their rebellion. Chapter 30, it says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. These children of Israel are acting like the world. I'm not talking about the people that are unsaved. I'm not talking about the people that are out there and they don't know better. I'm talking about God's children. I'm talking about people that know. They've been under the sound of preaching. They've heard the Bible verses. They've memorized those scriptures in Sunday school. They've been in church as a child. And yet, they're rebellious and they're turning away. And they're wanting nothing to do with what God has for them. Rebellious children that take counsel, but not of me. They're listening to their worldly friends and all that they have to say. There's nothing that your worldly friends are going to tell you that's going to do you any good. The only thing that you should be listening to is your preacher, your parents, and any other godly counsel you have in your life. Cover with a covering, but not on my spirit. Clothes like the world. Some of you say, it's not a big deal if it dressed like that. It's only a little immodest. It's only cut a little high. It's only cut a little low. And not just ladies, too. Some of you guys, you're wearing them skinny jeans and all that. I don't know. God help you, man. That's got to be painful, you know. You got to get right. I mean, it's wearing the... And not even just the principle of the immodesty. It's looking like the world. And looking like that where people can't tell a difference. They should be able to tell a difference between you and the world. There should be a difference. There should be a change from you and what some man who never heard about Jesus is. They walk down... They walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked in my mouth. Egypt in the Bible is a picture of the world. And Christians so many times go in and try and be a part of the world when they know better. And they get into things that they know they shouldn't get into, but yet they get into them anyway. They get into that worldly thing. They get into some worldly organization or some, you know, they go to parties or whatever it is, whatever it may be, where they know that they shouldn't be a part of it, and they don't care. They get a part of it, and they become some kind of, in some kind of worldly group. They have maybe worldly friends that they know they shouldn't be hanging out with, but they just want to fit in. And a lot of times, teenagers want to fit in. I know, I've been there. I wanted to fit in when I was a teenager. I sometimes still want to fit in. I don't want to be the weird one, odd guy out, you know? Like when you're playing pickup basketball or something like that, and they say, all right, and they pick, you know, both captains, you know what I'm talking about? Anybody been there? You know, you've been picking up on some basketball on the court and say, I got him. You keep going. And then at the end, there's just me standing there. And I'm like, so whose team am I on? And they're like, yeah, next play, next game. Come on, next game. And, you know, and then, you know, you're the odd man out. And you don't want to be rejected. But you know what? We shouldn't be looking to feel included with the world. We ought to be looking for our inclusion with the people of God, with the church, with what God wants for us. The world has nothing but heartache and sorrow and regret. But when we try and come to God, and He'll have those open arms waiting for you, you'll feel included. You'll be ready to be brought into His family, and you'll never regret it. It's the best thing you can ever do. But these children, it's a lot like people today in America. It's a lot like our teenagers, a lot like our older people. And it says, now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. God help us. There's a lot of people that fit this description. Rebellious, lying, people that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. So many of our people in America, our teens and our young adults, and even our older adults, middle age all the way up, they don't want to hear those hard things. They don't want to hear the hard sayings like it talked about in John. They don't want to hear those when those hard preachers come in and tell them what's wrong with them. They don't want to hear that because they got their pride. They say, I'm good. I don't need that. They want those smooth sayings. They want their ears tickled. And they want, that's why churches where they don't really preach and all they preach is about grace and they never have a time when they preach about sin or hell. That's why they're such big churches, because there's a lot of people that have their pride and they say, I don't want to have those hard sayings. I'm good. And that's that pride that starts rearing its ugly head. And it's something we got to kill right now. Kill that pride. And understand that we need help. We need hard sayings. We need it. We can't just rely on those smooth things. And yeah, the grace of God is great, but you know what? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We need to live right. We need to live clean and pure and holy. They say to the prophets, smooth things, and prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. What a sad thing. And this time in the children of Israel's, in their lives, they were talking about how they didn't really care anymore. They've tried that. Their older generations were Christians, but then they turned away. And if you go through and when you look at the children of Israel all the way from when they came out of Egypt all the way down, it's just the constant cycle where they're getting right with God, and then another generation comes up and they aren't as serious about it and they let things go, or maybe right away they just turn blatantly against God and they turn to idols. And then God rebukes them and then they turn back, oh God, forgive us, help us. And you think, man, these children of Israel, they must be idiots. Like, it's happened again and again. But then you look at our lives, and it's the same thing. We've been told we know better. We know what we should do, but we don't do it. We keep on going back to that sin, that flesh. Remember, that flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh profiteth what? Nothing. Nothing. Everybody, the flesh profiteth what? Nothing. Nothing. This is so much like today, where we don't want those hard preachers. They ask to smooth things and deceits. They ask them to get out of the way. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay therein, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. They think they're doing great. They think that their dealings with the world and all their likeness to the world and turning away from God and wanting those smooth things, they're fine. They think I'm great, but they don't understand what's coming down the road and how they've weakened themselves because they're not taking counsel with the godly men, and they're not hearing those hard sayings which are strengthening them. And maybe you're here today, you say, I don't really want those hard things. I'm not that serious. And maybe you're here and you say, you know, I'm coming to church, but I don't really need to go soul winning anytime during the week. I don't have to obey that. That's for somebody else. You know, when a preacher says something hard, you don't think of yourself. You ought to ask yourself, is that me he's talking about? But so often we think of that and we hear the hard saying and we think, no, that's not me. What? I don't do that. Come on. That's our pride. And that's when we see, we think of all the things that are hard sayings, we don't want them. We want the smooth things. We want the nice things. We want them to think, hey, you're great. Oh, thanks, I'm great. Everybody, you're great. You're great. Everyone's great. There's no problems. No problems at all. We got all perfect. No more sin. That's not real. And that's not reality. We need to understand that we're not perfect. We got sin. We got problems. We need to fix it. And the hard saying's got to come to strengthen us, or else we're going to be like that breach ready to fall. Back in John, Jesus said to them, "Will ye also go away?" Some of them went away because of hard times. Some of them went away because of other friends leaving. Some of them, they thought, well, the reason I believe he asked, "Will ye also go away?" is because he saw people going away and then he saw others going with them. And that's so often the case, that people follow their friends. They're not serious about it themselves, and they're here because maybe a friend was here. They're trusting in a friend, or maybe they're trusting in some pastor or someone that's sinner, and they're not, you know, they're not the one person that they should be trusting in. If we're putting our trust in anyone besides God, they'll fail us. Your friends will fail you. Your pastor will fail you. But Jesus never fails. Amen. Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Yes, Jesus never fails you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And Jesus is someone you can always rely on. Maybe they're leaving because of the hard times. Maybe they're leaving because of their friends. Maybe they're leaving because of the temptations. There may be some time in your life where you get asked to do something you know is wrong. And people ask you to, and they won't say this, but they'll ask you, "Will you just feed your flesh a little bit?" And they'll come in the time, "Well, hey, do you just want to smoke a little of this?" And maybe it's not that. Maybe it's something a little less, you know, serious as somebody in church. "Hey, you want to go, you know, miss service one time? We can go to the beach. Hey, you want to go, you know, miss soul winning? You want to go hang out?" And maybe it's not something wrong you're doing, but it's something that you're not doing right. And it's something you're missing that you should be doing. Maybe it's something you're doing where you know better, and you know that you should be there, and you know that you should be in church. You know you should be where you ought to be, but you're not, because you're just something that's maybe not wrong, but you're away because it's just distraction. Never get distracted out of doing something God wants you to do. No matter what it is. And, you know, it's hard, I know, with family or work sometimes. And there's different instances, I believe, that, you know, you need to work with. But you ought to never schedule some kind of work and say, "Well, yeah, I'll definitely work Sundays." Or tell your family, "I'm sorry, I can't come to that family reunion. We got church." You know, and it's hard to say that sometimes. You think, well, family first. No, God first. Amen. God first. Amen. God gave you your family. Amen. Bring your family to church. Bring them all to God. Amen. There's so many reasons why you can walk away from Jesus. There's so many excuses that you can make up. And you know, you'll always have some reason why you can walk away. You'll always have some excuse. You'll always be some kind of thing that seems like a good idea. But you know, you got it the best anyone can have it. If you're in church, if you know Jesus, if you're saved by the grace of God, and you have the Word of God, and you have your Bible, you're blessed beyond measure. You don't know how good you got it. Why would you ever want to leave that? You don't have to go out into the world and find out how good everything else out there is. You got the best that they have to offer. The world will just let you down. Your ungodly friends will just let you down. The Bible, church, and Jesus, they're going to bring you joy forever. They're going to help you, and they're going to give you the joy that you need and that peace of mind that you need. Now, no one's perfect in church, but that's why we're all here. Because we need that hard saying to perfect us and to help us and to challenge us to be what we ought to be. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you're sitting here and you listen to what Brother Gilbert said about being saved earlier, and you don't know what that means. You need to get saved. You need to put your trust in Jesus. You need to understand that it's the best life you could ever have. It's the best thing, best decision you could ever make. If you're here and you're a Christian, and maybe you're like that prodigal son and you're thinking about leaving, you're thinking about, "Man, I can't wait till I can get out of here." God help you. You don't know how good you have it. You say, "Man, well, it's easy for you to say. You're the one preaching up there. I'm nothing. It's by the grace of God I get to preach. I grew up in church. I'm not a pastor's kid. My dad makes t-shirts, you know. I'm not anyone special. And God blessed me with being able to sing, and I thank Him for that, but that doesn't make me anyone special. I'm not a great preacher. You all know, you've been listening to me for the last half hour. And you know, it's not anything that I have going for me that's special. It's being faithful. You say, God, I want to be used. Stick with it. He'll use you. Stay faithful. Be usable. Be open to whatever you have hard preached against you. And if you'll be usable and moldable, you'll be used. God will use you. He wants to use you. You got to be willing. You got to be usable. You got to be faithful. When Jesus asks you, will you also go away? I hope you can answer with what Paul said in verse 68. Or what Peter said, excuse me, in verse 68 and 69. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. You got it. You got the best thing there is to offer. You got the words of eternal life. And you say, well, Jesus isn't here. He left the Holy Spirit and He left the words of eternal life for you. It's a more sure word of prophecy. It's a word that brings all help and comfort and knowledge and wisdom. And it's all right here for you and for me. And you know, we don't even take time to read it. We don't even take time to understand all that He's given us. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, Son of the living God. Why would you ever go away from Jesus, from God? God's on your side. God's with you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. But you can forsake God. He'll be there. He'll be there waiting for you to come back with open arms. Don't leave Him. You got the best thing there is to have. You don't need what they got. Because you got what they need. And there's something that you have right here in this church. You got a man of God who preaches the word of God to God's children. That's a blessing to be able to be here and to be able to have that. You know, there's people all over the world that would wish for just a couple words of scripture. And you have the whole Bible right here. You have that word of eternal life. Don't ever go away. Don't ever walk away. Don't ever leave. You got the best thing you could ever ask for. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day.